of course, what better person talk to us about the news of the day and the news of the week. It's always a pleasure having him on, and he is one of the largest live streamers on the planet. Yes, that is true. The one, the only Destiny joining us right now on the show. Destiny, good to see you again, as always, my friend. Thanks for coming on. How are you?
Doing okay. Another day in paradise. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing okay, Destiny. You're right. Another day in paradise. I want to start by asking you about this Tallarico-Ken Paxton saga. And what I mean by that is, you know, Stephen Miller attacking Tallarico, calling him trans. You've got Benny Johnson, of all people, on Jesse Waters yesterday, questioning whether he's straight. They're mocking him because he's eating barbecue. I don't know if you saw the picture of him eating barbecue. And I'm thinking to myself, wait, you guys support the guy who was outed from your party, Ken Paxton, the liar, the cheater, the criminal. What do you make of this?
I mean, it's just like messaging and signaling from the Republicans that they feel like this guy isn't manly enough or whatever. I mean, this is just standard. You know, in the grand scheme of everything that's happened over the past couple of years, I feel like this is probably one of the more tame things that they've been engaged in, no?
Yeah, that's true. There's a lot of other that's a good point you make, a lot of other things that they've talked about over the course of the last week or two that are absolutely insane. But I mean, we could just talk about the economy, right? And you look at the GDP, which they promised 6% GDP growth. The new numbers that just came out, and Fox Business was reporting this, 1.6%. As you remember, Destiny, we had Trump, we had Bissent, we had Hesset, we had Lutnick, all promising 6% GDP. What happened to that promise?
I mean, the tariffs, the everything. Yeah, I don't know. I'm on an everything's bad. Yeah. I mean, like, they've obviously failed to deliver on any part of their agenda. They're kind of squeezing the message as much as they can right now to try to bring everybody in line. But things are starting to fall too far outside of what the expectations were for the average American, even the voter for Trump. And then, I mean, you're slowly, finally, I mean, we've kind of seen the disintegration of the MAGA movement. You know, Marjorie Taylor Greene leaving, I think, was kind of a big deal. And you're just slowly seeing this happen as we march towards the midterms. And then I imagine it's going to be total chaos after the midterms leading up to the next presidential election. Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, do you think it's one of those things where those people that I just mentioned, they just have no idea how the economy works? Or do you feel like they have some knowledge of it and they're just trying to cover it up for Donald Trump's or leader? Or, I mean, did they not see ahead when we talk about these tariffs? And you've talked about the tariffs a lot. There are still people out there that think that this was somehow a good idea for our economy when $175 billion literally stolen from American consumers. Do you think they had no idea that this was going to happen, or do you just think they didn't care, or maybe a little bit of the two?
It's really hard to predict because generally you have your public-facing message and then you have like privately what you do behind the scenes. But it seems like for a lot of the Trump admin, a lot of them are just genuinely stupid people. Like Trump is genuinely just a stupid guy. And because he runs his stuff kind of like a dictator, he's too scared to have people around him who are brave enough to give actual feedback or push back against kind of dumber ideas of his. So I don't know how much is like intentional corruption versus how much is just Trump is just kind of not very up on what the government does or what would happen if he does dumb things. Yeah,
I tend to agree with you. And, you know, this came up in my debate with Rachel Wilson, which was torture. But she had made the case about people who vote should have to take a basic civics test, which I wouldn't necessarily disagree. It's one of the few things I agree with her on. But I also said to her, then that would mean like 90% of the people that voted for Trump wouldn't have been able to vote, right? To what you're saying.
Yeah, I don't. Everybody always envisions that, I guess, their side would do better for any kind of like polling test. But I imagine, like, I don't know what kind of test these guys would even write or think that they could write that their side would pass more than the other. So, I have no idea.
Yeah, it is interesting. If you're just joining us, Destiny, with us on the program, you know, I look ahead to the next 2.5 years, right? And I just look ahead to a few weeks from now. There is he's still talking about the ballroom. We got this UFC fight in D.C., which is insane, by the way. When you think of what's going on in Iran and how, you know, the economy, and we're all obviously struggling, and he's still talking about the ballroom. He's talking about this upcoming UFC fight, basically talking about anything and everything that most Americans really don't care about, right? I mean, it's insane.
Yeah, I saw a post earlier. I hope I didn't even like to click if it was photoshopped or not, but like a before and after of what that area of the White House looks like. Is that a real picture?
That's a real picture. That's a real picture. Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. It's gaudy. It's disgusting. It is what it is. Yeah, Jesus.
But you know, you've talked a lot, and we both have talked a lot on a lot of different shows about political violence, right? And how dangerous it is for the president to be out there in the open. They're holding a UFC fight in front of the White House, and they're preaching to us about how all this political rhetoric and how dangerous this is. I mean, you get that all the time. What do you make of this? Why would you hold this fight in front of the White House if there was so much danger?
Well, I mean, between Joe Rogan and everything else, like, that community is all kind of sort of broke for Trump. So it's not surprising that they would do things that would kind of appeal to that community. It is what it is. I don't take conservatives seriously at all when it comes to having any kind of actual values for literally anything. So I'm not even thinking of it in terms of that. But yeah.
Did you think that 10 years ago?
10 years ago, did I think that conservatives had absolutely zero standards as human beings? No.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I've said this before, and this isn't a defense to Donald Trump, but I think for the most part, right, Destiny, the Republican Party has been against, you know, basically almost any government program that can help struggling people, whether we're talking about welfare or food stamps or healthcare. And I think Donald Trump just multiplied it by 10, right? But I do think 10 years ago, we were able to have these discussions with people. And at times, Republicans and Democrats were able to sit at the table and reason with one another. I feel like that's been gone for a long time.
Yeah, I blame that, you know, as much as it is desire to kind of hate a lot of the people involved in this, even the voters sometimes. I do blame the social media apps a lot, especially X for this. I don't spend enough time on Facebook. I don't know, maybe Facebook is just as bad, but X is just uniquely a terrible app when it comes to feeding people slop and getting them to believe certain things. And if you can control what a person believes about reality, you can control what they want to do with it, you know?
You're so right. I mean, even when I debate some of these college students on campuses and have debates around the country, I find that most younger people get their news and get their information on X. And, you know, whatever Laura Loomer says must be true. If we have a terrorist attack that takes place in New Orleans, it must have been because of Joe Biden's open border policies when we learned that this was somebody that was born in the United States of America. And I feel like these types of things, it's not about getting it right anymore, getting the news right. It's only about saying something first, whether it's right or wrong. And it doesn't matter if they get it wrong. And if they do get it wrong, they never retract and they never apologize, right?
Yeah. I mean, but why would you, right? Your voters never even see you get anything wrong. Nobody's actually pushing you on getting anything wrong. So you just move on to the next talking point. There's no incentive to be honest or to recognize any mistakes or anything at all, right? Yeah.
I've always wanted to ask you this, Destiny, because I guess my opinion of what a journalist is, I was having a conversation with Tim Pool about this the other day. I said, Tim, you're not a journalist. He said, yes, I am. And I said, no, you're not. You're an opinionated talk show host. Now, it doesn't matter whether I agree or disagree with you. You're not a journalist. You don't try to get both sides of the story. And we got into this almost this argument about what a journalist is. My opinion is a journalist is somebody that shows up, gets both sides of a story, doesn't share their bias or their opinions, and just reports on the story. What do you make of that? Somebody like a Tim Pool or a Laura Loomer that call themselves journalist, or a Savannah Hernandez who shows up at these left-wing, you know, rallies or these left-wing anti-ICE protests. And she says she's a journalist. And I'm like, no, you're not. What is your definition of what a journalist is? I guess that's my first question. And would you consider any of these people journalists? Because I don't.
No, I would say a journalist is somebody who's trying to report something that might require some type of like more comprehensive knowledge of the thing, but they're trying to make it understandable to the person reading it. So they're taking a situation, they're reporting on it. And I mean, you could say biased or unbiased way. It depends on what they're reporting for. And then they're just kind of like saying like, this is what's going on. This is why it matters, you know, and then that's kind of it. Now, the reality is journalist is not a protected title in the United States. So literally anybody with anything could be a journalist by just saying I'm a journalist, a self-ID, I guess, as a journalist. But the role for people like Tim Pool, these people are clearly not journalists. They're not doing any original reporting ever or collecting any facts on their own. At best, they're news pundits. More realistically, they're just like mouthpieces for the administration. But yeah, even right. I would say I like qualify as a pundit more than I don't know right. I call myself a journalist. I'm very rarely on the ground, like collecting original facts or doing original interviews.
Right. I'm not either. I'm an opinionated talk show host. Like, for example, I wanted to ask you this. Like, if a Democrat was president and they asked you to sit in that seat and ask a question, would you accept that invitation? I'm wondering, like back in the day when Joe Biden was president and they, you know, they had like the Jack Posobiecs, the Tim Pools and the Betty Johnsons, and they'll ask the first question. And I'm kind of rolling my eyes because first of all, they're not journalists and they have no business in being there. And number two, they're the most fluffer type questions you could ask. And I think it's an embarrassment. Is that something that would you take that opportunity if they offered you that?
That if they offered to do an interview with me, a political leader?
No, if they invited you to go to the White House for one of those press briefings and you'd be the person to ask the first question, because they're doing this right now. Yeah.
I mean, if I was free to ask my own question, sure, but not the way they're doing it right now, where it's like, here's like a layup or a tea right. question. No, that's insane to me. How embarrassing.
Exactly. That's my point. That's what it's turning into, isn't it? Where you have the Laura Loomers of the world and you have the Tim Pools and the Jack Posobiecs and these people that are getting press credentials. They're not journalists and they're asking the first question. And it's always the easiest layup, as you said, type question. Mm-hmm. And you look at the Pentagon and you remember what Pete Hegseth said 7-8 months ago, that they were only credentialing certain people like the Cam Higbees of the world and others that don't ask pressing questions. And I find it to be completely embarrassing, because that's not what this is supposed to be all about. We're supposed to be asking pressing questions to any politician, whether they're Republican or Democrat. But that doesn't seem to be what the Trump administration wants these days. And if somebody does ask a question like that, God forbid, Donald Trump will attack them. Where are you from? Who are you with? And then we'll call you stupid.
Yeah, I mean, that's just kind of how the media goes today. Like, nobody wants to be challenged on their particular stories or narratives, so they can invent their own facts and then never have those facts pressed against. I would argue the super far left people are doing it really well, and then MAGA does it really well, and lib left hasn't figured that out yet. So we're constantly trying to challenge ourselves to be better than them, and that is just shooting ourselves in the foot over and over again. But yeah, that's just the nature of how the media is working today, unfortunately.
Destiny, we're not that far out from the midterms. What would be your advice to Democrats right now? What do you think, in your estimation, maybe one of the biggest mistakes you think they're making? What do they need to do right now to ensure that they are successful?
I mean, I think it'll probably be successful no matter what, but I think they need to get together more somehow with some type of behind the scenes, you know, a congregation of senators and representatives or something, and then talk amongst themselves and try to get like some cohesive plan. Maybe this could be with Ken Martin's guidance. Maybe this could be with some of with Gavin Newsom's guidance. I don't know. But figure out, like, what are the things that we need to message on? What are the positions that we need to have? And then how could we message this in a consistent manner? Because getting drilled every single day by far left people who just want to ask a billion questions about Medicare for All or Israel-Palestine is not working. And obviously any right-wing platform you go on is just going to be insane. So, yeah, they need to figure these issues out, I think, sooner rather than later.
Do you think Ken Martin needs to get out there more? First of all, I don't think we're seeing enough of him. It's almost like he's in hiding. Why is he not going on Fox News? Why is he not going on OAN or Newsmax? And why are Democrats, some, not all, but why aren't they more aggressive? I don't even know where Chuck Schumer is these days. I have a lot of respect for Hakeem Jeffries, but I think there are more qualified people, and maybe qualified isn't the right word, but maybe people that would be maybe better leaders. What are your thoughts on Hakeem Jeffries, the Chuck Schumers of the world, and Ken Martin in general?
I mean, for Ken Martin, I mean, typically you don't see your your chairs of your DNC or RNC going out and talking to media. I think everybody right now is kind of looking, or there are a few people looking at Ken Martin, because there is just no strong leadership in the Democratic Party. We typically just don't have the partisan hackery in the media and in the pundit world that the Republicans do. So we always feel a little bit lost in between elections. Whereas for the Republican Party, Fox News is there as the official party messaging apparatus to constantly carry forward all of the Republican Party messaging. And then they always have their think tanks and everything working in the background to iron all this stuff out. So I think that, I don't know what that needs to look like. There has to be a hugely comprehensive change in how the lib left approaches like media strategy in general. I don't know who that has to come from or what that has to look like, but everybody keeps kind of looking at singular individuals to do it. And it's more like a whole movement thing. Like the whole Republican apparatus is all in on how they do their stuff. And it's not just one person that's kind of directing it all.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. That's fair. So big story that came out earlier today, at least I think it's an interesting story. And I know a lot of people on the right are talking about this, but rightfully so. Jill Biden has said that during the debate, when her husband had that horrible debate performance, I thought it was terrible. Jill Biden has said that she thought that her husband had a stroke on stage. Now, there's a lot of people on the left that are very upset at her for even bringing this up and having to relive that. I'm wondering what you make of this, and what do you make of Jill Biden's comments claiming that, that's quite the comment, claiming that she thought her husband had a stroke during the debate.
I mean, I saw those headlines, but I didn't read the stories. I would have to know like what the context was. Like, I've said that a lot. I feel like this guy's having a stroke right now, but I don't literally mean having a stroke. So I don't know if her comments were literal or not. I do know that, again, the lib left is obsessed with throwing themselves under the bus with the idea that somehow this is going to win over favor from voters or something else. But it's not. The MAGA people will just seize on the comments and then use it to attack the lib left. The far left will seize on the comments and use it to attack the lib left. And then the lib left will seize on the comments and attack themselves over it to show how, you know, righteous they are. And that it's just that loop forever and ever. Maybe Jake Tapper can write another book on it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I lost a lot of respect for Jake Tapper. That was a money grab, and I thought that was a joke. All right. So I'm going to say something now that might be a little bit controversial, but obviously I want anybody on the left to be able to defeat a guy, you know, like a J.D. Vance, of course, or a Marco Rubio. With that being said, the reality of the situation is that women are 0-2 against Donald Trump. There's a lot of different reasons for that. I'm not saying it's just because they're a woman, right? There are plenty of factors. However, with that being said, I don't want this to happen again. And I think Democrats need to look in the mirror and say, hey, maybe AOC could be a great VP or plenty of other capable women out there, but maybe we should have a man, you know, be the guy this time. And I understand that, you know, people are going to be voting and, but I just feel like in a general sense, I think you need to put somebody up there that has the best chance to win. And I'm just not sure that's a Kamala Harris again or an AOC. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, if they win the primary, they win the primary, right? Isn't that what the whole point of our primary thing is for? I mean, if they want to run, they can run and we'll see how the primary goes, right?
But do you think, okay, I understand what you're saying. I agree with you. But do you think that in this aspect, the fact that they are women and they are 0-2 against Donald Trump, that did play a factor? And by the way, just like you, I supported Kamala Harris. I'm not going to sit here and say I care whether you're a woman or not. No, of course, I want the best candidate and I agree with you. But there are a lot of people in this country that don't vote that way. There's people in this country that don't vote for you because you're a woman. There's people in this country that won't vote for you because you might be gay. There's people in this country that won't vote for you because of the color of your skin. I don't like those people. I think we would call them bigots. But it's still a reality that the Democrat Party needs to face, though, is it not? It's a conversation that needs to be had.
I don't know. I would have to think about it a lot more. The immediate vibe takeaway I have is I don't know if the woman thing matters as much as people think it does. Like, Hillary lost the election by 40,000 well-placed votes. She won the popular vote by 3 million people. So it seemed like that didn't slow her down there. Kamala had, like, you know, 3.5 months to run her campaign. I mean, like, that was almost doomed from the start. I'm just not sure how much, like, the woman factor plays in so much as being against somebody at this point in U.S. politics. But I don't know. It's hard to say. I'd have to think about it a lot, yeah.
Perhaps. I do believe that if Michelle Obama wanted to get back into politics, which she doesn't, but if she did, I think she would be a fantastic candidate, and I would certainly support her 100%. I mean, there's so many other topics that we haven't touched on over the course of the last few weeks, Destiny. What is most troubling to you coming from the right that you've seen in the news in the last week or two that you say, wow, I can't believe they did that? Are you surprised by anything anymore?
I mean, nothing is really surprising. I mean, everything related to Iran is crazy to me. This is like shoring up to be one of the worst U.S. military losses in, I don't know, since Vietnam, maybe in all of U.S. history. I just don't understand. We started a war that we didn't have a plan for, couldn't follow through on, and is going to leave arguably one of the most troubling players in the region in a stronger position afterwards, to the chagrin of like all of our allies in the region. It's just like so bad for so many reasons. I don't know. So, I mean, like, that whole ordeal has been terrible. I mean, I wish I could say, like, the corruption and everything. There was an article that was linked to me earlier about some $760 million deal that Trump intervened on for his son or whatever. But, I mean, this stuff is just part and parcel now of, I guess, this White House. You know, I'm sure you've gone over that slush fund that they're trying to create for political, political victims, I guess, of unfair prosecution in the Biden admin. I don't know. It is what it is. Yeah.
They're making excuses for it, and they won't rule it out. Like J.D. Vance has asked directly, and others in the administration, will you rule out those that were convicted of violent crimes like beating cops, that they will not be allowed to, and they won't rule it out, which is incredible to me. They call themselves pro-police, back the blue, but yet if you beat a cop on January 6th, we're not talking about people who went to jail who trespassed or destruction of property. That would be bad enough if you rewarded those people. I wouldn't agree with that either. But we're talking about people who literally caused some members of Capitol Police officers to have traumatic brain injury. As you know, Brian Sitnick died the next day. There are officers that have TBI, and yet they won't rule out those people. And who's the judge and jury here? Well, there is no judge and jury, right? You just have a 5-member panel that's going to make decisions. Okay, we'll pay that person off. Okay, we'll pay that person off. And there's no who, what, when, where, why for the general public.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. It's pretty horrible. Yeah, pretty terrible. What do you want me to say? Yeah.
Did you think it could get any worse than pardoning those people? I never thought that they would actually reward people and they could become a millionaire.
I mean, that is what they did for Ashley Babbitt, right? They gave her family that $5 million. Sure. So, I mean, I guess the blueprint's kind of there already. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't seem to understand, you know, the references here, because a lot of people want to talk about Ashley Babbitt and how that was unjustified, what happened to Ashley Babbitt. And then, you know, there was a lot of George Floyd talk again, which I did want to ask you about before I let you go. because, as you know, the other day, it was the 6-year anniversary of George Floyd being murdered. And I say the word murdered because, correct me if I'm wrong, there were two autopsies, one by the family, one by the local sheriff's office, that concluded that it was a homicide, that Derek Chauvin's knee on his neck for 9 minutes is what caused that. And then you had Mayor Frey and Tim Walz putting out tweets trying to remember George Floyd and the murder and people attacking them for that. How dare you do this on Memorial Day? How dare you talk about that drug addict and that lifelong criminal? As if that has anything to do with what took place that day, and it was murder, and you still have people on the right that are calling for Derek Chauvin to get a pardon. And I don't understand. They still claim, oh, he died of a drug overdose. No, he didn't. That's not what the two autopsies said. How do you make sense of this?
It's the same thing I just answered before. They have their own reality. They live in it. They get to say whatever they want. It's pretty terrible. Like, there are all sorts of rumors about George Floyd actually died of a fentanyl overdose. Like, none of the autopsies say that. People point to concentration in the blood. You build up a tolerance to this type of stuff real quick. You can look up the concentration of blood for people that overdose who are frequent users, and they have sometimes way more than George Floyd had. Newer users can die with less. Like, it's just them controlling their part of the media apparatus, avoiding all critical confrontation of their thoughts, and then pushing out their messaging to their party so that everybody can carry it forward verbatim onto social media, them and all the Russian or Chinese bots for it. Yeah.
Does it ever get tiresome for you, Destiny, to have to listen to the same talking points from the right in almost every single debate that you do, whether you're talking about Trump policy, whether you're talking about the war in Iran, whether they're talking about the Biden administration? Does it just get really tiresome for you? And do you find that it's getting more difficult for MAGA to defend the indefensible?
Yes to your second question. No to your first one. It doesn't get tiresome because they don't debate it anymore. You know this. I think we've talked about this. That usually they'll say, I'm not here to debate Trump, or I don't want to debate Trump stuff today. Like, I'm not going to defend the administration. I would never get tired of having that debate over and over and over again, because they would get clobbered on it. It would be completely one-sided and ridiculous for them to try to defend it. So there's a reason why they don't even try it. Yeah.
Very true. Very true. And I think your Jubilee performance speaks volumes as to that. Destiny, it's always a pleasure. I don't know what you got going on your live stream today, but I'm sure you'll be talking about some of the stuff that we've touched upon. But always appreciate it, Destiny, when you take the time to join us, man. Have a good weekend, and hopefully we'll be able to catch up with you next week, my friend. Appreciate the time, as always.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Have a good one, man.
Do you think Asan is in a Snarker Discord with them? Or
absolutely
no?
Not.
Then you know how I know one six like tweet?
Because people could DM it to him directly. But fuck, I wish I could remember where I heard this from. I don't remember if I saw a clip or a text thing, but there was a reason why. I think it was Gistical explicitly said, me and Queeman are the two largest content creators in that Snarker sub, because I want to make it real clear that Hassan is not in there.
Got it. Interessant.
I'm arguing way too much right now. DMs. Okay.
Oh, you're fighting people?
Somebody's triggering me. Fuck. Okay. It's okay. What is this?
Destiny or Hassan want to debate him these days.
Hey, that's
whenever
me.
Destiny or Hassan want to debate him these days, he turns it down, because the idea of having your views questioned is completely unacceptable to us.
Oh, yeah.
I have no obligation to do any.
And it's really funny because, like, Destiny fans will say this about me as well. And it's like, no, I just don't want to fucking be around Destiny. I talk to people that I disagree all the time. I do debates in public. I go outside.
Charlie Kirk, there he is. Do you think that Hassan had any hand in it, or did the Snarkers worm their way in the same way they have other? I don't know. We're way past any level of coordination that wouldn't have required me to have had some kind of mental illness to divine. Like, the only reason I know what I know now is just because of, like, the painstaking process of kind of, like, building it all out. But to assume this, I would have had to have been, like, schizophrenic before. So who the fuck knows?
I do debates that I set up ahead of time with people like Sean Hannity, and then they fucking escape me. You know, I'm setting one up with Van Jones. I just don't want to fucking be anywhere near that weirdo. But I'll debate anybody else, pretty much.
Not Destiny, though.
Anything. And there are some people...
He doesn't want to debate anybody. He doesn't want anyone to...
I just don't understand how his fans... Wait, what the fuck? Oh. I just don't understand how Hassan's fans can't see, like, how unbelievably cringe it is for him to say that Asmongold should debate him, but then for Hassan to use all the exact same excuses that Asmongold uses to not debate him, but then to not debate me. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like,
a bit.
Asmongold is using bullshit excuses because he knows that his views won't survive scrutiny. So Hassan says, therefore, he should debate him. But this transference 100% works with me and him as well, right? Hassan says he won't debate me, but I'm saying it's because his views wouldn't survive scrutiny. Like,
yeah.
Question him at all.
People that think that.
Yeah, well, Charlie Kirk dodged me too. So does Sean Hannity. He's fucked up.
Well, wasn't only he scheduled for Charlie Kirk?
Yeah, so that didn't even make sense. And he debated Charlie Kirk once before, but yeah.
Got him.
The fact you can ever derive in that deep pit of despair is to basically get together with a bunch of other people who also are just as sad as you and cyberstalk enemies. The sense of community that you arrive at in places like Asmongold's community, in places like Sexpestini's community.
I like how he doesn't even have a nickname for Asmongold, but he does for me. I love that.
Are entirely designed around enemies. Okay?
What?
And they're not usually even ideological.
That's another skinwalked talking point from me, but I usually use this about Gistigal's community. It doesn't even make sense for my community. Actually it does, because they claim that my whole political identity is built around not being Hassan, I guess.
This is like Asmongold's community and places like Sexpestini's community are entirely designed around enemies. Okay? And they're not usually even ideological enemies. Sometimes ideological enemies, but oftentimes it's a figurehead that is a stand-in for the ideological enemy. It can be a Twitch streamer that your favorite content creator has deep envy and resentment for.
Oh shit. We heard this on Gistigal stream, right? That I'm like jealous of Hassan or whatever.
Attack him. You're attacking him to do politics. And I see this. I see this all the time with, again, Epstein's fan base, right? They're not normal. They spend every single waking moment like spamming clips to be like, let's go. There's actually a little bit of emotion around like, Hassan's in trouble. Federal government's coming after him. Let's go. Let's fucking slam as many clips as possible on the timeline. Let's take a little bit. Let's chip away at his high horse. Fuck this.
Don't you think you should press these guys more for a debate? I feel like it's a big tell to not debate someone regardless of what it is. Yeah, 100%. This is going to be one of my new... I have like a bunch of things that I'm just waiting for the court case to end. Someday it will end. Someday. But one of it is going to be being unashamedly... like pro debate. I think it should be one of the biggest red flags in the world if your political pundit that's out there in the world can't have a debate. I think it should just be an expectation. Like, it's the equivalent to
I think debate's a bad word sometimes. It's like a conversation.
No,
what people would think normally.
You should be able to debate your ideas. If you feel so strongly about a thing, what the fuck else are you doing with your time that we're out here earning millions of dollars and you can't defend your ideas in a conversation? What the fuck are you doing? What are you getting paid for? Like, log off. You don't have to stream 8 fucking hours or 10 hours every single fucking day. Take one day a week, do some reading, practice your argumentation, and go out. You should be able to do it. If you can't confront anybody in your ideas, I think that fundamentally, the entire concept of like the marketplace of ideas and the entire concept underlining freedom of speech dies immediately. If it's really going to be the fact that nobody can have a debate anymore and everybody has an excuse not to ever debate, bullshit. I think that should be an expected skill. Much the same that if you're a president, you should be expected to be able to give a speech. You should be able to expected to have good relationships with foreign leaders. Like, these are baseline expectations of the job. I think that if you are a hardcore political pundit, especially one who's online all day, you should be able to debate and defend your ideas. And if you can't, it speaks to the weakness of your ideas, I would say.
Okay.
This guy, right? You didn't do anything. You didn't accomplish anything. Your life didn't get better. You just felt a sense of satisfaction because you're trying to drag others down to where you're at, and it's not going to even fucking work. With Asmongold, it's also me, but also beyond me, it's...
Would just framing it as a conversation be better? No, fuck these guys. No, because you're buying into their framing that, like, debate is bad and evil and debate tactics. Then fine, learn better debate tactics. By the way, they don't even agree with that because nobody does debate tactics better than Hassan does. Like, he literally, remember in the Mockler convo when he fucking unplugged Mockler with the whole, I think you're just trying to debate me, bro, thing to get him to not be aggressive against any of his talking points anymore? No, these guys are the king of fucking debate tactics and everything.
Random video game journalists, right? Random transgender content creators on the internet to where you're at, and it's not going to even fucking work. With Asmongold, it's also me, but also beyond me, it's random video game journalists, right? Random transgender content creators on the internet. There's tremendous satisfaction from kicking them down, kicking them down a peg while they're already on the ground, Yeah. A reminder that no matter how bad things get for you, it's always going to be worse for that person in that immediate moment when you're cyberstalking them, when you're A-logging them, when you're actually trying to ruin their fucking lives.
Why is he using the term A-logging on stream? He is so entrenched.
That was interesting.
Yeah, he is so entrenched in my drama. I'm so curious sometimes. I'm so curious sometimes how much time he actually spends on it. It's so hard for me to imagine.
Wasn't there like a leak in the past that he spends like a lot of his time not looking at your shit when he goes?
Not a leak, but Molina told me through mutual friends. Yeah. But it's
crazy. Well, this was like told from Will Neff or whatever. I don't remember.
Well, yeah, to Molina personally. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then also, like, I know Ethan Klein confirmed it. I want to say there was at least one other person who mentioned this, who was on a show with Hassan and said, I'm not supposed to mention this guy, right? It wasn't the recent Your Rage thing. It was somebody else, but yeah. Being able, debate should be part of your skill set, should be expected, should be, needs to be an expectation that you can debate your ideas if you are a pundit who spends all day talking about unable to defend your ideas in a conversation. Why should anyone take anything you say? Why should anyone take what you say seriously? Question mark. Son knows this. That's why he always challenges who he perceives to be a weaker debate opponent.
For me, debate's just a bit of a scary word because I think of like going into a debate with Pisco and I know that he's going to absolutely fucking rape me at it.
Why though?
Because I don't think Pisco talks in good faith and then he talks around the situation and talks around the subject for like until you are like debating over fucking definitions and shit.
Sure, but let's say that he wanted to debate with you that Elfin Lied was a better anime than One Piece. Do you think you would lose that debate?
I don't know anything about Elfin Lied, but if we extrapolate this to like the ping pong anime versus One Piece, I think I would win that debate. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. So okay. It's a subject matter. Yeah. Like if this was like a close call, I can understand. But also, just being frank about you, I don't think you market yourself as like a high power like political pundit who's been doing this for years and years and years and years. You know.
No, very much is getting into it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Asmongold played the same game too before he got like super, super into politics, where he started saying that like debate was important and Hassan should stop dodging me. But then as soon as Asmongold started to get more into politics, he's like, actually, wait a second, debate is really lame. I don't think anybody should debate because he didn't want to do it either. Destiny, what do you think about open book debate? Like both parties have access to resources they can quote and make arguments off of. You're talking about like styles of debate and everything. I think that you can have conversations about that. That's fine. But like we're way far away from that. Like these people avoid all conversations. Like the reality is that Hassan's positions on like say like Israel-Palestine would fall apart in seconds. Like he wouldn't be able to answer a single challenging question on almost anything. And it's not you wouldn't even really be able to have a debate with these guys. It would just be a simple conversation and then eventually they would just completely fall apart because they wouldn't be able to talk about anything meaningful. How did Ethan force Hassan to debate him? What made him do that? Because they had a show together. They had to have that conversation before the show fell apart. Wait, what is this? It's so funny seeing Hassan and Jessica team up considering these clips. Oh, was this when Jessica was, I guess, my dick suck and not Hassan's?
So I will watch that in a second. Sorry, I forgot. This is my true passion in life, is just A-logging Hassan, being unhinged, okay? I wasn't sure I wanted to listen. I get a little sad streaming sometimes. I'm like, why am I doing this? And then we get to watch some Hassan content, and I remember this.
Was this before or after Gistical called the police and had Cherry locked up for 3 days for feeling suicidal before he started spamming content with her on his stream? I don't remember.
This is my passion, okay?
Oh, man. I'm telling you right now, brother. When I say this shit is insane, okay? When I say this shit is like legitimately sad.
Yeah.
This is what I mean.
Agreed.
You still want the clip of Hassan fighting with a pro? I do.
Agreed.
Yes.
I do so agree. It is sad.
Sorry, I forgot. This is my true passion in life, is just A-logging Hassan, being unhinged, okay?
What does A-logging mean?
He didn't even know. He didn't even know a year ago, and now he's using it in conversation? Holy shit.
I don't even know what that means.
I wasn't sure I wanted to... Listen, I get a little sad streaming sometimes. I'm like, why am I doing this? And then we get to watch some Hassan content, and I remember that this is my passion, okay?
It's a 4chan
this is
term?
This is everything I want in life. It's right here, right now. All right.
Before the leaks, November. Oh, because they leaked at the end of November 2024. True. Okay.
Bro.
A term used to describe one's expressing disproportionate levels of hatred for someone, often including wishing them physical harm, usually for perceived crimes, in air quotes, that they are guilty, in air quotes, of. The question I have always is like, why would you reveal that? You know what I mean? If like that is your legitimate point of view, why would you ever reveal that? Like, how hug-boxed are you? How echo chambered are you into thinking that like, nah, this is fire. Like I'm going to admit to every single person that's watching right now that I would probably kill myself if it wasn't for the fact that I have a hyper fixation on a content creator who didn't even know I existed until this fucking very moment.
From 4chan site, A-logging is a term used to describe the act of overplaying or exaggerating the negative traits of someone lulls at irrational levels.
Jesus.
What's so shocking about this incredibly, incredibly pathetic display of someone voluntarily revealing that they are basically not fully human. You know, they've just lost their humanity in this process. And they're
What was the before and after? Remember how he he talked about how unhinged and crazy Bad Empanada was? And then he had Bad Empanada on his stream semi-regularly as he was watching his videos doxing everybody in my friend group. And then afterwards, he went back to saying how unhinged and crazy Bad Empanada was.
Mm-hmm.
I've got more political education and entertainment watching your content versus MSM. To be honest, a lot of your content is more trustworthy because you do your research back of your claims. Unlike Hassan, the just dick rides most popular far lefty view. True. I am that guy. Live today at 1 p.m. EST. Actually, it's ET. Any moronic DGG fan asserting I am wrong can call in to debate me. I doubt any of them will, though, because I am better at argumentation than all of them. Is this a... I can't even... I think this
You're
is
gonna
a
call in
message.
Then, right?
Apparently, he's already live, but I have a talk with some guy in like 30 minutes, so I don't think I can.
Shit. You got 30 minutes, right?
What's my good penguin friend been up to? By the way, which is how you can tell that people like Justicle don't give a fuck about anything that Pixie's talking about, because...
I think Aaron really fucked up by sharing Pixie's private communications with Sunday. I think that's totally true. I've said that to Aaron's face. I've literally talked to Aaron about... I've literally said that to Aaron's face. I've called Aaron a fucking retard for doing that. I understand that Pixie might also not want to talk to me because I associate with Aaron. I don't think Pixie's wrong for that. That's their beef. I don't talk about Pixie to Aaron. And likewise, I just don't... Pixie's not a topic of conversation, right? Keep it to politics, mostly. Anyway. I there's nothing wrong with me being friends with both of these people. You know what I mean? I don't have to cut off Aaron in this case. If Aaron were out here constantly trashing Pixie, I think I'd have a reason to say something, right? I think I'd have a reason to say something if I consider Pixie a friend. Aaron don't say shit about Pixie. Aaron don't say shit about any of this. That's why I don't feel the need to cut her off. If she was just silent, if she was just not doing anything, or sorry, if Destiny was just silent, not doing anything, I think it'd be weird for people to demand he cut people off or people cut him off. But that's not what he's doing. He didn't just take it on the chin, his lawsuit, and go through the motions.
Take it on his chin? Pixie Substack accusing me of deliberately leaking my own revenge porn? I know this is not a serious argument by him. This is just their talking points.
Been waging a fucking harassment campaign against Pixie the whole time.
Aaron is completely embedded in this friend group. Was pretty sure she was in that fucking Snarker Discord server, okay? And is obviously back on Peaceful Stream and everything else. So that's who Pixie's referring to here. But yeah, I'm pretty sure Kyler's just asking for like a lifeline or something because she was getting that Ghislaine Maxwell shit thrown at her consistently.
They're expressing that fear of.
True. Do you see like enjoying that Wick panel shit? Yeah, but I haven't watched it at all. You know what's really stupid about your Estaboard is that it doesn't have backlighting. Why? It's just a board. Why would it need backlighting? You can just put a light on it, no?
Type shit is pathetic.
Hassan talks about your 15 minutes. Somebody in a kick chat asked, Destiny, why is Hassan trying to boost accounts that are talking shit on you? Is he trying to like sabotage your user base or like what's his endgame here? Oh, I think I've mentioned this in the past, but if I haven't mentioned it, I can be overt about it now. So one of the things that they do is they make their crazy fucking tweets. I don't know this for sure, but I think one of them will communicate it to Hassan, or Hassan just has them so in his algorithm that when they pop up for him, he'll like the tweets. Sometimes now, as of recently, as my court case is coming to a close, he'll reply to get them even more engagement, but he'll just like the tweets. And when Hassan likes the tweet, they will they get boosted in the algorithm, and then they see that he's supporting them, but likes don't show up publicly, so nobody but them knows. Now, usually in the past, what they would do is they would just like they'd screenshot his like, and then they'd kind of like share it in the server and jerk off to themselves. But for some reason, Doobie posted this in a publicly accessible server, I think, that somebody saw yesterday. Normally they don't put those posts publicly or whatever. Yeah, so his latest liked post had 6 likes when he liked it. 6 likes. Yeah, they either pop up in his algorithm or people are sending him things to like. Justicle could be, but that's typically how they do. Destiny, your lighting issue is more about not having a key light. All your lights are above you, which makes all the shadows on your subjects too hard. What? No, I have no light is above me. But Hassan is a little bitch, and you need to stop boosting these lame fuck POS on X that are basically talking shit on Destiny. Well, the nice thing about it, this is why I said this is so annoying, is that he gets to engage in all of the petty personal attacks against me and the obsessive weirdo sexual attacks against me, but he doesn't usually have to directly comment. He can just use his little minion squad for it, which is the annoying thing. Yeah. Every now and then, Pearl Davis randomly sends a bunch of women here on X, including me, mean DMs. It's kind of funny, but also bizarre. Okay.
Okay, maybe I'll do this.
Look for a Discord dating server. Google Discord dating Discord, server?
Teen dating server. Right?
Just you're, Google, holy
Google
shit.
That, Google no. that, that language.
And then Cox Digital Cable is going to come to my house and arrest me?
The first thing that comes up, here's a Discord dating server on Discord, Discord, which is like a Discord listing site. 13 to 18 plus community. 13 to 17 years old, hop on. And these are dating servers.
Right? Oh, why does it be talk? I'm sorry, I don't know. Maybe it's a speech thing.
We're right. posting selfies. People are like, you know, sexting and shit. There are a lot of kids. And they're specifically advertising, you know, that if you're 13 plus, you can go on here. And these servers are full
Sounds
of pedophiles.
Kosher. That's insane.
They're full of pedophiles.
Isn't this the same thing that Doobie was just attacking me for on my chat when I was like, what the fuck? There's a fucking minor tag on Twitter. How the fuck can he... I swear he didn't always sound like this. Well, this is an old video now. Oh.
Remember to hit that like and subscribe, and don't forget the notification bell so that my videos show up right in your feed.